Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. We are joined, I'm pleased to say, once again by Russ Dallin, the president and editor-in-chief of the Latin American Herald Tribune. He is also the head of an international investment bank, Caracas Capital Markets, has spent many years in Venezuela, follows very closely developments there, including, most recently, a remarkable outcome in elections that were held in the various states in Venezuela over the weekend with some rather distressing results. It's good to have him back. Russ, thanks so much for joining us.
Secretary Gaffney, always an enlightening pleasure, sir.
Let's talk a little bit about what happened in the course of these elections on Sunday. Is it as you anticipated they would come out?
Sadly, I have been following the fraud in the Venezuelan elections for many years now, and this exceeded my expectations for their fraud. This was so blatantly fraudulent as to differ tremendously from both the polling before the election as well as the exit polling after the election. There was just, going into this election, the opposition had about between 60 and 80% support, a majority of the country. The government had 20 to not even 30, but in the 20% support. Yet they're claiming that they won 17 of the 23 states in the country, which diverges enormously from what the opposition did when they did have last free and fair elections in 2015, when the opposition stomped on the government. And the situation in the country has deteriorated greatly since those elections in December of 2015, and yet the government's numbers went up, belies belief.
Yeah. So is there evidence at this point as to how this theft of the election took place in 17 of those states, or is it just business as usual for the government, cooking the books and putting out whatever numbers they choose?
It almost looks like it's too early to tell, and we're starting the analysis, and indeed I testified before Congress on the last elections, before the Senate, on how they committed the fraud. We're still going through the numbers. It's still too early. We just got them late, and we don't even have complete numbers yet. So we'll look as they cook them and then go through and see how they got these impossible numbers. But even before that, the fraudulent was set up. They imported a lot of tactics from the Nicaraguans, who have learned how to play this game, including changing voting polling places at the last minute. So that, for example, my voting place was changed on Thursday. So 2 days before, my wife's polling place was changed. It's been the same for 35 years, and they changed it at the last minute as well. One of my staff was actually watching in a morning meeting. We were just talking about it in the morning meeting on Friday, and they changed it from the time he hit refresh on his screen, and they had changed his voting center 2 days before. So they call it in Nicaragua, they call it loco, ratón loca, crazy mouse. Basically, they make you run through a maze to try and exercise your democratic right to vote.
And in the process, more often than not, probably precluding people from voting who would cast ballots against the government's favored candidates. Let me ask you, this is so palpable a case of fraud that apparently, in Europe, as we're speaking, as a matter of fact, Russ Dallin, there is an effort underway to impose new sanctions on the government of Venezuela. What do we know about what the governments in Europe are likely to do? And what is your recommendation at the moment as to what we should be doing as well?
So it looks like that the Europeans are going to go with individual sanctions on members of the Venezuelan regime who violate human rights, which is kind of the same steps that Canada just took in the last 2 weeks, as well as what the U.S. has been doing all along in terms of targeting the most egregious violators of human rights, including the electoral board, the four women that basically made all these decisions and allow this incredible cheating to go on. And I should point out, by the way, that the company that had done the vote tallies for Venezuela, that provided the machines, designed the programs, wrote the software, and ran the machines and maintained them and basically controlled all of the software, came out after the July elections and said basically there was a fraud of over 1 million votes in the government's tally from their own tallies. And, of course, the government proceeded to fire that company and brought in another small, unheard-of company named after Che Guevara. This fraud was written a long time ago.
So for our purposes here in the United States, Russ Dahlin, we're watching this train wreck continue to play out, obviously. The privation of the people of Venezuela is acute and getting worse. The government nonetheless clings to power, even as the economy continues to nosedive into the ground. The oil basket, as you reported last week, has slipped again. The devaluation of the currency is going forward. Given all of that, what would you recommend the United States government, the Trump administration, do to try to really change the course here, if anything?
It's getting more and more difficult. We've exhausted the easier sanctions where we just sanctioned individual people. Now we're going to have to move to another level where there's going to be greater pain involved. It could mean stopping exports of our oil, refined oil products back to Venezuela, which they very much depend on to run their machinery, including the gasoline for their tanks, to perhaps embargoing all Venezuelan oil so that they can't come here, or even the halfway mark saying, we'll accept the oil, but we're going to pay you in food. You're going to have to feed your people, just like we did with Iraq in the oil for food program that the United Nations ran. But we've exhausted basically the soft sanctions, and if we want to avoid another Cuba with the largest oil reserves in the world growing on our shores, we're going to have to start acting and acting more aggressively.
And on that point about food as a form of payment, I know that the Venezuelans are actually denominating their oil sales in Chinese yuan at the moment. Were we to institute a food payment, is there reason to believe the food would actually get to the people of Venezuela who so desperately need it, Russ Dahlin, or would this simply be plowed into the take of the regime and its various narco and other kleptocratic operations?
Sadly, you've hit the nail on the head again, Frank. The military actually controls food distribution in the country. There's actually a general in charge of each food product. There's a general in charge of rice. There's a general in charge of beans. There's a general in charge of beef. There's a general in charge of chicken, and I kid you not. But there is so much corruption in each of those things. They're making money by the differential between what they bill and what is actually paid. But then they're also reselling it, and they're also delivering it to regime supporters. So we would have to find a way to bypass regime control so that the corruption would be taken out, as well as using it for their own nefarious purposes to starve people who don't support them.
Well, this is a hard bit of business, needless to say, when they control all of the instruments of power. But very quickly, you've called the devaluation the Voldemort rate. tell us what you're referring to there, and how significant has the devaluation of the currency been?
Let's put it this way. If you'd had a dollar in Venezuelan currency on January 1st, you'd now have basically 10 cents left. You'd have a dime of that dollar left if you'd held it in the bank. We call it the Voldemort devaluation because it's illegal to say what the actual street rate, the black market rate, or free market rate, if you will, of the bolivar is. Because the government says if you give the government $1, they will give you 10 bolivars. If you give a dollar to a man on the street, they will give you 31,000 bolivars. That is, and that is room for corruption too, because those generals who are billing the government get to buy those chickens at 10 bolivars to the dollar and then resell them or resell the dollars, can turn around and resell those dollars for 31,000. So your profit is basically, you know, is immense. It's a money-making machine. The government tried to stop that by making it illegal to publicize or talk about the black market rate, hence Voldemort, the character in the evil villain in Harry Potter, whose name must not be mentioned.
Thank you, Russ, for this contribution to economics lexicons, as well as our understanding of what's happening in this devastated country. We appreciate your reports from time to time. Look forward to talking with you again soon. Next up, we'll talk a little bit about that and also the Middle East with Dr. Luis Fleischman, straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.